Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Good morning. Welcome. We're going to go ahead and we're getting started this morning, actually finishing off a two-part series that we started a couple weeks ago on pilgrimage, your personal pilgrimage. And we took a look at a scripture here in Psalm chapter 84, verse 4. It says, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage." All right, the Amplified says, "Blessed and greatly favored is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart are the highways to Zion." Okay? There's a pilgrimage. This scripture is kind of talking about a heart. And I thought, you know, this is such an interesting kind of a scripture because I've read a lot of different scriptures about being blessed and what it means to be blessed. And usually there is some connotation with, you know, hungering after the word, you know, of getting filled with the Spirit, you know, being blessing those who curse you, doing good things to those. There's a sowing and a reaping, different things like that. We have different connotations with what it means to be blessed. But there's a certain blessing that comes from setting your heart on pilgrimage. And that's what we looked at last week. We took a look last week at what we called the Faith Hall of Fame. We just kind of went right down through Hebrews chapter 11 and just looked at these men and women who did just amazing exploits for God. You know, walking with God. Enoch walked with God. You know, he just had a heart to walk after God. We saw that there was just simply a simple obeying of God's word. You know, Abraham was challenged. He started out in one place where the Lord told him to go. He's going to be the father of many nations. And then 25 years later, he finally had that promised child. The Bible says he was fully persuaded that God was able to perform what he had promised. Over those 25 years, he got fully persuaded that God was faithful. He knew that word, he knew that voice, and he just had a faith obedience. He was so fully persuaded at the time they had Isaac, that shortly after that, you know, several years, the Lord says, "Okay, now Abraham, go ahead and offer up Isaac, your son." And he goes, "Okay, Lord." I mean, wow. He's in quite a place of obedience and knowing and hearing after God. And he's talking about, these are just examples of obeying and examples, the scripture says, that we follow. They were written for our examples. We could see people that were whose heart were set on pilgrimage. They're seeking a homeland. In other words, they can't see everything. They just know. They have a perception, a sense that's driving them forward. All right? What they had then was the promises that were pointing to Christ. Think about this. They had promises that were pointing to Christ, a time of promises they weren't living in. They were faithful to the pointing. They were faithful to the promise that following after God was leading them to. We could see here in choosing to suffer, Moses, he had a choice. He could have enjoyed the pleasures of Egypt. He said, "No, I don't want it, the pleasures of Egypt. There's something, there's someone I'm going after. There's something, there's a pilgrimage in my heart that I'm going after that I don't care about the reproaches. The reproaches of Christ are of more value to me than the treasures or the pleasures of Egypt." And so we could see these examples of people who were going counterculture in their day because they were on a spiritual pilgrimage. There was a builder, you know, a homeland whose builder and maker is God. Okay, and we kind of left off at the end of that chapter. It says, they, you know, there's something better for us. And that's kind of where I want to pick up this morning as we're going forward here. Hebrews 39 through 40 says, "All these people," just kind of flew over this morning, "earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us, so they would not reach perfection without us. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses," that's all these examples he just gave in Hebrews chapter 11, "to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. So we see again the contrast in Hebrews chapter 11, all these examples of faith, Old Testament examples, who were not living in the time of the promise of Christ, but they're there and they're reiterated there for our inspiration, for examples, and we almost see them as though they were cheering us on. We're surrounded by this huge crowd of witnesses, those who've gone on before us. And he's saying, in the light of that, then now let's go ahead and run with endurance the race God has set before us. And that's just where I want to get to this morning, is the fact that when you're born again, you become a child of God, you believe in the message of the cross, something happens. There is a race that is set before you. Ephesians 2:10 says, we're his workmanship, we're created in Christ for good works he's ordained us to walk in. There's a path, there's a plan that he has for us. There's a pilgrimage that we immediately start walking in when we receive Christ. The scripture here in Hebrews says, the race God has set before us. And so this morning, we're simply going to be doing a part two, your spiritual pilgrimage, the race set before you. Last week, we looked at signposts from the past. Now we're looking at the race set before you. And this is how it works, the inner work. God has set a race before me, but blessed am I when I set my heart on the race he set before me. God can't do my part. I can't do God's part. I'm his workmanship. He's not my workmanship. I'm his workmanship. He created me for good works. He's ordained me to walk in. The plan, the path, the pilgrimage, the journey, all that's in it, he did that. That's a race that he set before me, right? That's his part. God has set before me a race. I'm blessed when I set my heart on that race, on that pilgrimage. There's a blessing for that. This is big picture stuff. We all go through things. We all go through stuff. And it's easy for our whole walk to kind of get in the weeds of stuff and things and all that. But this message, this call, this summons is to come up high and to see that big picture, we're all on a pilgrimage. And we're all on a race that God has set before us. And the purpose of this message again this morning is to stir us up to simply set our hearts on what God has set before us. You have a pilgrimage. It's not just a preacher on a Sunday morning who has a pilgrimage or people who are in the ministry. Every part of the body of Christ has been created in Christ Jesus for good works. We're all one body with many members. We're each one of us. The Bible says he put each one of us in the body as it pleased him. That was the sovereign act of God. He created you. He put you in there. And now we're discovering what that is. There's a pilgrimage to find out what that is and to do what God has called us to do. All right? So that's where we're going. That's where we're going forward today. We're going forward on our pilgrimage, but now we're bringing it up to the present. We're bringing it up to us as believers with the promises and the blessings that the Old Testament Hebrew 11 saints didn't have. We got them, okay? So we're going to look at our spiritual pilgrimage, and we're going to see it from three different, very solid perspectives that I believe and I'm hoping that as you're kind of having to, you know, we all do this, we're going through life and we have to get reoriented to pilgrimage, reoriented, big picture. I'm believing that these are going to be kind of points that'll help you to reorientate back to pilgrimage and get your focus and get your bearing spiritually, if you will, that big picture. So the first aspect of your spiritual pilgrimage is we're simply calling the pilgrimage direction, centering on Jesus. All right? Centering on Jesus. As the scripture continues in Hebrews chapter 12, it goes on to say in Hebrews 12, 2 through 3, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. So we see Jesus in his pilgrimage. Jesus had a pilgrimage as he was during in his earthly ministry. And in fact, there was the scriptures here says, looking unto Jesus, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. In fact, you know, Easter, we really focus on that Passion Week of Christ. But before the Passion Week, the Bible talks about Jesus set his face like a flint for Jerusalem. There was a setting. He was set on a pilgrimage for his own homecoming. You know, and he got, you know, he was going there, but there was a determined direction. He had a direction that he was going. I'm going there. This is what the Father has called me to do, and I'm going there. You know, even as he was going there, you'd see sometimes he'd say, Father, what shall I say? Deliver me from this hour? This is the hour I came into the world. He had this direction. You could tell there was cross currents trying to knock him off his direction. No, this is why I'm here. This is why I've come. There was a direction. Jesus had an internal compass to the Father and toward his plan. There was a joy that was set before him as he was going through his pilgrimage to the Father. He knew where he was going. In fact, before he went to the cross, he said, okay, Father, now restore to me the glory that I had with you before. So as he was going on to glory through the pilgrimage, through his stuff, but there was a direction that he had. What's our direction? Our direction is right here. Our direction is Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one who authored our faith as we got born again, and the one who's guiding us through and finishing our faith as we're walking through this pilgrimage. He endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the Father, at the right hand of the Father. For consider him who endured such hostility of sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Now, when you think about Pilgrim, I actually just watched a new movie again. There's a lot of different versions of Pilgrim's Progress, okay? I just saw another version that had come out again this year. But when you think about a pilgrimage, when you look at that story, and if you've ever read different aspects or parts of that, you see this guy, he's got this path, and all he's got to do is just follow the path, but there's all these different little things that just get him off track. He's going to help God out and shortcut some things, right? No. And then he'll have people come along that'll undermine, oh, the evangelist said that. Well, the evangelist is a little crazy. You know, come on, use your head, use your good sense, and oh, okay, maybe I better do that, lean to my own understanding. And you get all these different little distractions and detours, and you know, and we all have and experience that, our own little wilderness experiences. You know, it's kind of like you're going down a highway and all of a sudden you take an exit. But now with our technologies, we can get on our phones, we got the GPS that reroutes us and gets us back on the thoroughfare, you know? And that's a lot of times what happens with us as we're needing to GPS back on, because you can get off. You can get off track. I mean, we kind of joke sometimes as we're doing our pilgrimage to Eau Claire, do our four-hour journey back there. As soon as we get off on that four-hour journey, right away we're met with an exit that says Green Bay exit. It's like, ugh. You know, just like, oh, okay, let's take the exit. It's like we've driven for 4 hours and the first thing we get is going all the way back to Green Bay. You know, it's like, oh, you know, how dumb would that be in one sense? But yet, how many times have we done that? You know, we've been on a track right for so long and all of a sudden you just get one little impulse thought. Oh, okay, just follow a little impulse and you're exiting off, you know? And these are things that you're learning on the pilgrimage way though. This is things as pilgrims. But I like, you know, what we said last week, as you're going through things, as you're overcoming, as you're getting victory, it's not pilgrim's treadmill, it's pilgrim's progress, all right? So even though it can feel like, oh, I'm learning this lesson over and over again, I'm kind of doing this, you're going towards something, all right? Even if you go on that exit and then you get back on the road again, you're still getting back on the road for something, all right? And so there's progress that's being made here, but there's direction in that progress. We're looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, Colossians puts it this way, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. It's almost like you're setting your sail for this voyage, for this pilgrimage. In Romans, I put these in conjunction. It says, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, you could say, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So there's like a sail you're setting on this pilgrimage. And this is just what I want to get across so much in this point. There's direction. No matter where I'm at on my pilgrimage, we sing that song, True North. There is a true north in Jesus. There is a true north where I can set my mind on Him. I can look unto Him. I can seek Him. And as I seek Him, He's going to take care of me. He's going to get me to where I need to go. We last month went to Disney World, and we went to three of the four kingdoms. We went to the Animal Kingdom and Epcot and the Magic Kingdom. And it's interesting, you know, it's a theme park, but there's within the Disney theme park, you've got these, you know, individual themes as well, too. And as I am thinking about, you know, if I'm setting my mind on animals and safaris and things like that and cool stuff like that, I'm going to want to gravitate and I'm just going to want to set my sail for the Animal Kingdom, because that's where I'm going to see all that cool animal stuff and actually get to go on and experience animals in their natural habitat, cool animal rides, animal toys, sticks, food, different things like that. Everything's oriented around that because that's the kingdom, all right? Now, if all of a sudden I'm setting my mind and my heart on, you know, the ethnicity of the nations and future and technology and all that kind of stuff, and then I'm going to be sailing into the Epcot kingdom and being able to see all that kind of cool stuff, you know? And then, of course, if it's the princesses and the palaces and the magic and the pixie dust, then I'm going to be going into the Magic Kingdom, you know, and getting that wide-eyed experience. You know, and as you do that, you know, where you set your mind, it's like you're saying, you're going to that kingdom that you're setting your mind on. And that's what he says happens here. When you set your mind on the things of the flesh, he said, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Then you're in the flesh kingdom, and you're seeing flesh rides and flesh food and flesh clothing and flesh. That's your world. When you set your mind on the things above, then you go over into the kingdom world, and you begin to see spiritual things, and you begin to compare spiritual, and you begin to get revelation over here and see things, and it's a different kingdom. It's a different world. And the price of admission for these kingdoms is simply the attention of your mind, where you're setting your mind. That's the pass. Is where you're going to fix your attention. That's admission. And so many times I've found myself in this kingdom, and it's easy. You know, you could be steering into this kingdom, and Satan can all of a sudden remind you of something that somebody did and go, yeah, they did do that, and you wrath, batter, and bitter, you know, you're over here in this kingdom. And you can find yourself, you know, trying to fix bad rides and correct bad food, and you're over in this kingdom, and God is just saying, get out of that kingdom. Just set sail. Set sail for my kingdom. Set your mind on things above. We're talking about pilgrimage. As we're on a pilgrimage, it's easy to take these exits off into side kingdoms and things like that. And the answer, the direction is just Jesus. And Satan hates that, because when you're over in his kingdom, he's got a lot of tricks, puzzles, games, things like that. And you don't want to hear the answer, Jesus. Jesus. I love Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I will bless you at all times. I'm going to seek Jesus. I'm going to go after him. I'm going to be filled with songs, hymns, spiritual songs. What does that have to do with that? How does that solve that? How does that solve that issue? I'm not trying to solve anything. I'm just sailing into a kingdom. There are answers in this kingdom. There's revelation in this kingdom. There's understanding in this kingdom. But in a pilgrim's, there's just direction. And this is where you humble yourself as a little child. Because I'm just going after Jesus. You see, no matter what anybody has done to you, it can't undo what Jesus did for you 2,000 years ago. No matter how complicated and sticky and messy those little flesh things are, God has a way of simplifying things in the Spirit. And you get over here and you just trust Him with that, and you get over here in the Spirit, He will show you over here how to pray for stuff like that, almost like targeted prayers. Think, wow, that's brilliant. I'm going to pray for that. Trust that. Lord, show me that. Show me how to confront this person with this. Show me. When? How? And over here, you could be, you know, playing the games. Over here, there's clarity of thought. When you're on this pilgrimage, there is all kind of forces trying to knock us off in terms of our direction, left and right. But what we see when we go over here and we go over here into this kingdom, we see a few things that's in this kingdom. We see our great high priest who's entered into the heavens, Jesus Christ. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. He faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God Where we will receive his mercy, we'll find grace to help us when we need it most. That's over here in this kingdom. That's where I'm setting my mind over here. Even though it might seem trite over here to just begin to, by faith, look unto Jesus, it doesn't answer my questions over here. I'm just looking unto him in a very general way, just to set sail over to this kingdom. Once I get over here, there's mercy, there's grace to help as I'm coming boldly to that throne of grace. There's refreshing, there's strength. You know, when Jesus is in Gethsemane, his soul was exceedingly heavy unto death. He prayed that prayer, Father, if it's possible, remove this from me. Prayed that 3 times. And then after the 3rd time, angels came and ministered to Jesus. Wow. In the same way angels came and ministered to Jesus, Jesus comes and ministers to us with mercy and grace to help us in our time of need at our Gethsemane moments. But that's in this kingdom. It's not in that kingdom. The throne of grace isn't over there. So I'm by faith just looking at it's direction. In accordance with what Jesus said here too. Jesus, come unto me, all you who weary, heavy burdens, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke. Let me teach you. I'm humble, gentle in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy to bear. My burden that I give you is light. So we find that there is such a direction. There's a direction in that where, okay, no matter where I'm at in this journey, no matter how far off the course I'm at, it's Jesus. Jesus is my destination. Jesus is my direction. He makes it really simple. I'm meek and lowly. Actually, before he said these words here in Matthew 11, before he said this, he said, Father, I thank you that you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, from the scholars of the day, and you've revealed them unto babes. There is something about a simplicity of humility that just blesses the Lord's heart when I'm just looking to him. I don't have my answers, but that's okay. I'm just going to look to you, Jesus. And you'll show me what I need to know when I need to know. There's something about that. There's a direction of pilgrimage that we find in him. Not only that, but there's also what I'm calling the pilgrimage determination, all right? Your identity for Christ. When you're on this pilgrimage, and you've experienced it in your own life, and again, if you've ever seen any version of the Pilgrim's Progress, you find that there's something, as that pilgrim's trying to get to the celestial city, you find out that there has got to be a determination. There's just got to be a determination to do this. I got the direction, but I got to realize that there are going to be weights and sins that easily beset me. There's going to be powers and principalities that I'm wrestling against. You know, in this epic drama of living for God and having a pilgrimage set for him, I'm going to be dealing with stuff. Jesus said in this world, you will have tribulation. There's going to be things trying to knock me off the course. And so that can't be strange to me, even though it still does feel frustrating and strange when you're trying your best to live for God and feeling these counterforce things that are coming against you and trying to pull you off. But here's something that's powerful that I'm seeing. Again, this is just New Testament saints, believers, as they're walking out their pilgrimage, the race that is set before them. You see something. You see an identity for Christ. And this connects in with the determination. We spend a lot of time, you know, especially in a faith-type church, talking about your identity in Christ, right? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen, you are. God made you righteous. There's a gift of righteousness. I have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. Amen, you do. And you're a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. That's absolutely right. You're a brand new creature. That's who you are in him. You can do all things through him who strengthens you. Got all that in you stuff. But I've found that all the in Christ stuff means nothing unless I have an identity for Christ. Let me tell you what I'm talking about here. The Apostle Paul. This letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle sent out to preach his good news. The message says, Paul, am a devoted slave of Jesus Christ on assignment, authorized as an apostle to proclaim God's words and acts. I write this letter to all the believers in Rome, God's friends. Paul had an identity. He was not a slave in Christ. You understand? He was a slave for Christ. He chose to lay down his life and dedicate it to God, whatever he wanted to do. He had that identity about himself. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, he says, this letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to God's holy people in Ephesus who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. He calls them faithful followers. This is an important distinction. It's good to know all those great things of who I am in Christ and all that stuff. But there's, and we fight for those identities, but there's another identity that we need, that we have to fight for. And that's our identity for Christ. It's not just that God loves me, I love God. It's not just that God is for me, I'm for Him too. I follow after Him. I'm His faithful servant. I'm His faithful follower. Paul, writing to Timothy, said, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who's enlisted him as a soldier. He's talking about a mindset. He's talking about an attitude. He's saying, I'm a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I'm an obedient one. I do what God calls. When I see the word of God, I do what God's word says. When I get a prompting of the Spirit, I follow after that. Lord, I'm a faithful servant. I love you. I follow after you. I have an identity. That's who I am for. My identity for you. There's a determination that you need as you're a pilgrim that God will work in you by the Spirit of God. He will work that in you. And you will identify with yourself as one who does obey God. I do follow after him. Look at these images. Titus. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. There's an identity. I'm one of those special people who are zealous for good works. I'm one of those people who deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. I live soberly. I live righteously in this present world. That's who I am. That's my identity. All right? You think, well, you got it all figured out. You're all perfect. No. I'm declaring this is who I am. This is what rises up on the inside of you. There's a humility, a false humility connected to sin. There's a true humility that declares victory over sin because of what Jesus has done for me. That's very real. And that identity is huge to overcoming. It's huge for your pilgrimage. That you're not afraid, that when you got this in fearful force or seductive force or whatever manipulative force, you're not afraid. I'm not afraid of any of those things. I'm a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. I'm a faithful follower of him. This is my identity. The Apostle Paul, he said, you've all been to the stadium, seen the athletes race. Everyone runs, one wins. Run to win. All good athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after one that's gold eternally. But he's saying, run to win. You're on this pilgrimage anyway. You may as well run it to win it. Not play with it. I like how he says this way too. He says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved all the things or that I've already reached perfection. I haven't. Do I struggle? Do I miss it? Do I still take exits? Yes, I do. But I get back on track. But my attitude is I'm not going to take that next exit. I'm going to stay on the road. All right, and if I take that exit again, I'm going to come right back. But my heart is to stay on the road. This is who I am. My identity isn't just what God did in me. There's an identity of my love for him. I love him with all my heart, soul, mind, strength. That's who I am to him. I love him. I am for him. I will serve him no matter what happens, no matter what goes on. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stay right here and I'm going to follow after him. There's an identity that rises up in you for him, your identity for Christ. You love him. And there's something about that that makes you strong and bold on this road. And when things bump into you, they're going to bump into that. And when you got that, that's faith. I press to reach the end of the race. To receive. What is it? I don't mean to say that I've already achieved or already, that I've already received perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, all right? Yes, like I said, I'm still taking exits here and there. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and to receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. That's a heart of identity for Christ. When you got that going, it's they think this, and they said this, and I feel condemned. You're past, no, I don't care about that. You understand? When you're on pilgrimage, this is you and Jesus stuff. Any other human relationship is a subplot. This is pilgrimage between me and Jesus. And he's told me to be a good soldier, to let his grace train me. I don't care how bad I'm floundering. I don't care if I'm this far off on the exit. I'm going to say, praise God. My confession out of my mouth isn't just who I am in Christ. When I'm off over here, I'm saying, I'm one of those, I deny ungodliness and worldly lust. I live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You understand? When you're over here, you need to be declaring your faith and your love for Jesus that brings you back center. That's a heart that's, why would you do that? My heart is set on pilgrimage. I'm not going from this. I'm not playing hard to get with God. It's a race he's set before me, and I'm setting my heart on the race he's set before me. That's setting your heart on pilgrimage. I'm not playing games with this. Do I miss it? Yes, I miss it. But I get back on track. And I'm letting an identity work in me and rise up in me. I'm a faithful one. I'm a disciple whom Jesus loved, and I'm a disciple who loves Jesus. I love him. I'm for him. I'm with him. And if I miss it, I'm sorry, Lord. I'll get it back right. But I believe in my own heart for God. I believe in my own identity for God. It's not a pride thing at all. It's a thing that keeps getting back up. I'll tell you what, there are games you can play with this stuff, but you rise up on the inside. And it's not something that I declare that I do it before men to make them think that I'm... This is something that happens on the inside. This is between me and God. Like, this is me and Jesus stuff. This isn't about people. This has got to be my heart toward him, all right? It's not about declaring it to everybody thinks you're something, that you know. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a stance, an identity on the inside that you have for God. I love him like this. Can I love him more? Yes, and will. Next year, I'll love him more than I do this year. I'll be more dedicated. I'll be more faithful. I don't count myself to have apprehended. But one thing that I am, I'm forgetting that last exit, and I'm going forth on this road. Praise God. That's an identity for Christ that a pilgrim has to have on pilgrimage. It's an identity that's saying, I'm doing this thing. I can do this thing because I love God. And I'm for him. I'm not going anywhere. Praise God. I mean, I remember when I was had one of those True North experiences, you know, probably around this time of the year, deer hunting with my dad growing up. And, you know, he sent me on a little drive. You know, if you're deer hunters, you know what I'm talking about. You kind of have, send the young boys go on the drive while the uncles are on the other side shooting the deer. All right. That's kind of the way it works. All right. You're getting your stripes. So I'm one of the little guys, you know, doing the drive so I can spook the deer so an uncle can get the buck. So I'm driving, I'm just doing my deal, and he's saying, you know, just go all the way out. When you're done, you're going to get to this certain path. When you get to that path, just stay on that path, and we'll come and we'll pick up all the drivers. If you never see that path, if you get lost, he had this little compass on my orange jacket. He said, I think for us, it was like I had to go west to get out to the road. He said, if you miss the path and you're lost, just go west, because there is a road you will run into at some point if you just go west. And I remember I didn't see the path. I don't know if I walked over it, I parallel with it, or whatever I did, but I missed it. And I thought, okay, Dad said to just look at that compass and just go west. And you know how it is. You're going in a direction. You think, well, I've been here before. That tree looks familiar. That bush looks familiar. But, okay, I'm going to keep going west. You know, and I know I've been here. And there's just this, there's this things where you're just having to by faith, but you got to have a determination. Because if I'm not determined, then I'm going to be moved over, I'm going to be moved off, and I'm going to be moved aside. No, I'm going to do it. And I began to walk past things. And a lot of times, you know, we're talking about something geographical, but let me talk about, this is talking about places of your soul, okay? You get that, just Jesus, love Jesus, and you're going to be walking past places of your soul. You can be walking, still keep walking, yeah, Jesus, but you're walking, whoa. Yeah, I'm going to just be walking past places of my soul. I'm walking to life and peace. I'm walking to life and peace. But there's a diligence in that. There's a diligence in finding that. And you got to believe in your own diligence. You got to believe you're going to do it. You got to believe that you can do it. It's not just enough to believe who you are in Christ. I've been through this. I've known who I was in Christ for over 30 years. But there's another piece to this. You got to rise up and you got to walk and you got to walk your race and you got to put your foot to what you say you believe on the inside. That's your determination. That's what you're doing for God. The first commandment is still the first commandment from Hebrews 12 to Hebrews 11 to Hebrews 12. It's still love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to love one another as He's loved us. That hasn't changed from Hebrews 11 to Hebrews 12. And that's my pilgrimage. That's my heart. That's my determination. I believe that about me. I can do this. I can walk this out. And sure enough, as I'm walking, pretty soon I'm walking past places that look familiar and places I've never seen before. Pretty soon I'm hearing cars. Going, oh, there really was a road there. And I remember going there and just seeing, being at a road. Civilization, you know. Civilization in Hayward, Wisconsin, you know. It's a road. And it's like cars driving by. It's like, oh, yes. And you know, my dad eventually came by, and it was so cool. It's like, yes, that compass really worked, you know? It's the only time in my life I've ever really, like, been totally needing a compass like that. But it was pretty cool to see. But that's the way it is. There's not just the compass, but there's a determination. You got to believe as you're walking past those places, it's still true. Believe that about you. When I got to the road, I said, yes, good. Yes, awesome. Thank you. I believe that. I believe in the process. I believe in the way He set things up. And I believe I can walk this out. I can live this out. And finally, the pilgrimage destination. The pilgrimage destination is actually a few things. The pilgrimage destination, it's a prize, it's a place, and it's a person. This is what I'm walking. This is the joy that's set before me. You know, and this is where we hear the Apostle Paul. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. And I've remained faithful. Boy, isn't that something for him to say about himself? Is he being arrogant here? No. He understands a pilgrim's determination. He understands what it means to be a faithful of Jesus Christ. This is not boasting. I've been faithful. I know I've been faithful. I know I've stayed on course. He says, and now the prize awaits me. This is the Message version. Paul talking to Timothy. You take over, Timothy. I'm about to die. My life is an offering on God's altar. This is the only race worth running. I've run hard right to the finish. Believed all the way. All that's left now is the shouting, God's applause. The prize. Boy, this is such a cool thing. You know, when I think of a scripture like this, you know what it makes me think of? Just different times in my life. It makes me think of the last day of school. Judy can say amen to that. There's no more tests to take. There's no more papers to write. That's it. Or maybe you've been on a job. I've had jobs that I've been on for a while. Maybe you've been on a job for 5, 10, 30, 40 years, and all of a sudden, this is the last day. Got your box in hand, whatever it is. This is it. There's a last day to this thing. But I've been doing this job for 40 years. Yeah, but there's still a last day. Maybe it's a building project that's taken years to build, but finally, the last nail is pounded. It's done. Paul's got his box in his hand. It's the last day. Do you know there's a last day to your pilgrimage? There's a last day when you will have no more Door of Life Sunday morning services to come to. You'll have no more, assignments here. No more imaginations to cast down. Praise God. There'll be no more giving. You will not tithe. You will not give offerings anymore. All you'll be doing is you're going to be looking back at a journey. This is your time. This is your opportunity. This is your chance to be able to do what God has called you to do. I've related that story where I've had that dream. I played football in high school. I had a dream. I was there in high school on the field. It was amazing. It was glory. And then I woke up. And I was 40-something. I can't remember. Thought, oh, that was so cool. You know, I'm really not young anymore. But the Lord just spoke to my heart. He said, no, Ed, you are on the field right now. The lights are on. It is Carson Park. It is Friday night. The lights are shining. And there are people in those grandstands that went before you, and they are cheering you on. This is your time. And there's going to come when that clock runs out, and this game will be over. This is not forever. It's very temporary. There's a prize that we're waiting for. Not only that, but there's also a place. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, this is interesting wording. If it weren't so, I would have told you. Well, you are the truth, yes. How emphatic can he be? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. It's a place. Not just a place, but a place prepared by Jesus for you. That's part of what's on the other side of this pilgrimage, this homecoming. There's a prize, and there's a place. Praise God. What does the prize look like? What does that look like? I don't know. It's going to be something that God is going to give you to say thank you for what you've done on this earth. And it will last forever. That's what we know. Boy, I'll tell you what, I want to do it. I want to live for him. And then finally, there's a person. Revelation 22 says, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Wow, what a place. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face. His name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. There need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. What is that talking about? At the end of this place, there's a prize, there's a place, there's a person that we will see face to face. We'll see the one, the glorified Lord Jesus Christ. We will see him. That's going to happen. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You are going to be present with the Lord in a way that is face to face. That's what's on the other side of our pilgrimage. So, our spiritual pilgrimage, there's a race that is set before us. Again, just some bearings to kind of help. Kind of helps me jerk the slack out of me when I get in the weeds of life too much. And I'm saying, okay, Ed, I'm on a pilgrimage here. Direction, I'm centering on Jesus. I'm not going to center on that person or that hurt or that thing. I'll pray, I'll do things, but my life is not going to be wrapped up in that thing. My life is Jesus. Everything else is a subplot. And he's going to help me. I'm going to recenter on Jesus. That's my direction. That's my compass. That's what's going to get me to the road. That's what's going to get me to that place of life and peace. The pilgrimage determination, my identity for Christ. I'm one of those who lives for Jesus. I'm not putting on a bunch of self-deprecating adjectives to kind of feel like I'm, you know, humbling myself. I'm not. No, I love him. I'm for him. I serve him. And when I make a mistake, I'll get back up and serve him again. And I'll receive mercy, forgiveness, grace, but my heart is for him. And I believe in my own determination for him, like Paul had that identity. Soldier, slave, bondservant, whatever you want to say, I'm yours, Jesus. And then the destination, there's a prize, there's a place, there's a person, there's a place we're going to, and there will be a last day of your pilgrimage that's coming up. Praise God. Whether he comes, Jesus comes back to receive us, that would be all of our last days. But if not, then our last day will be a last day. And we're going to be leaving. And what we will leave is we'll leave what we have done in our pilgrimage. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this pilgrimage. There's a race that's set before us, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you for this amazing race, Lord, that you put before us. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I see you have set a race before me. I set my heart on that race as a pilgrimage. I'm coming to you, Lord. You are my Lord. You are my prize. You're my purpose. I come before you, Lord. You're my true north. I set my mind on you. Jesus, you're always the answer. No matter what kingdom I wander off into, Jesus will sail me out of that kingdom and into the kingdom of life and peace, of the throne of grace, mercy to help. I thank you, Jesus. I am yours. I have an identity. I'm glad you're for me. But I declare, I am for you. I'm faithful to you. I follow after you. When you show me something, I do it. Jesus, you're my destination. Your prize, the place you've prepared for me, your face. I thank you for it, Father. I will run with patience this race that is set before me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Here's a little excerpt, again, this is an old Twyla Paris song called Runner. She says, mindful of many, waiting to run, destined to finish what you've begun. Millions before you, cheering you on. Godspeed, dear runner. Carry it home. Carry it home. Runner, when the road is long, feel like giving in, but you're hanging on. Oh, runner, when the race is won, you will run into his arms. Praise God. That's the end of all of our race. We got different stuff that we're going through as we're running, but our pilgrimage has the same destination. Praise God. Amen.